Title of the message is, What on Earth is Happening? Anybody besides me trying to figure this one out, right? What on earth is happening? And I know that we all want to know exactly how things are going to transpire. And well, guess what? The Word of God has already told us. And some of the details on the way we may not be privy to, and God may share some things with us along the way. Because the Holy Spirit will not only remind us of everything that Jesus has said, but He will also show us things to come. Jesus said He would show us things to come. So there is a prophetic voice today, but we have to have discernment to know, amen, the voice of God well enough ourselves so that when we hear a prophetic word, it will bear witness with the Spirit within us, knowing that now that I know that is the Lord speaking because that's what the Lord has been sharing with me. Not what I want to hear all the time, because sometimes I have to ask myself when I hear certain words, now is that something I just want to hear or is that actually God speaking to me? Because a lot of people are being deceived today and misled by false prophets because they're looking for a certain word from people that will make them feel good, but not necessarily what they need to hear. Because sometimes God will tell us hard things because He wants His people to be prepared for what's coming. I know it got quiet when I said that one. So what's coming? What's happening right now? Where are we at? Well, would you agree with me that we're living in interesting times? It's happening. So much is happening all at once that it's hard to keep up with everything. The media can't keep up with it, that which you can believe from the media. And as bad as things seem, we need to always remember and we know that the Lord is sovereign. He's creator. He's over all the nations. He's over all the earth. Amen. But mankind has been given a will. And with this will, we can make choices. And so when people refuse to submit their will to God and try to live according to their will independent of God, it always, not just sometimes, always produces dysfunction. So the things that we see happening are results, okay, I'm talking about the negative things, of people living independent of God and thinking that somehow my way is better than His way. It's the creation saying to the Creator, I know better. So we are really witnessing an attempt by Lucifer and those deceived by him to prevent Christ from taking the reins of world government. The devil wants to stop the church. Amen. He wants to stop. Somehow he thinks that he can somehow prevent or at least delay the reign of Christ. How many know that the Lord is coming when the Father says it's time? And no devil in hell is going to stop him. Amen. That God is going to do exactly what he said he would do, and no devil in hell is going to stop him. Because again, even the devil himself is a creation. So he's no match for the Creator. Amen. But in his rebellion, in his own will, Lucifer is trying to oppose the movement of God in the earth to bring things into order, to set things up, amen, for the return of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who shall establish his rule and reign in Jerusalem, and from there he shall reign over the nations and over the earth. And so he's in opposition to the movement of God in the earth, and the movement of God in the earth primarily is God moving in his people throughout the earth. And he's using us as a resistance force, temporarily holding back the tide of evil. Amen. At the same time, God is preparing a bride. He's preparing a people who will be his. And he is purifying this people. Amen. Even in the trials of day-to-day life, God is preparing us for what is to come. So we need to know that nothing is outside of the total control of God. but God has allowed certain liberties, amen, because God has given you and I authority, mankind authority over the earth realm. Amen? So what's happening in the world is a result of mankind rebelling against the Creator and aligning himself with Lucifer, who's in opposition to what God wants to accomplish. Okay? No mystery there, right? Most of us already got that revelation, right? So we know that we're in a war. And what the world is saying is that we're not going to be ruled by anyone. We are our own God, and we will determine what happens in the world. How many have seen the arrogance from certain world leaders, thinking that they can just do whatever they want, as long as they want, to whoever they want, and ultimately get away with it? But how many know you're not getting away with anything? Because there's coming a day of judgment. God has ordained, amen, that man Christ Jesus, amen, to be judge. Now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Amen? For he has appointed a day in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. And he has given us assurance of this by having raised him from the dead. Jesus is Lord. Jesus told his disciples, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore in my name. Represent me. Be my force on the earth. Push back the tide of evil. Set the captives free. Amen. Proclaim the kingdom. Hallelujah. God is gleaning from the earth the harvest of souls. And those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be rescued. People are saying today, well, we will decide what's right and wrong. People say, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to determine what is right and wrong. And God has given people that liberty. You can choose to do what you want. But understand this, that all works, amen, are going to go before. God sees everything. Even those things that are done in secret. Even those things that are done behind closed doors. Even the secret councils of people in high places. God sees it all. God does not miss anything, guys. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so today, God is giving mankind an opportunity to repent of his ways and turn to the only one who can save them. And that's Jesus Christ, the Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through Christ. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's one intermediator between God and man. Amen. That the man Christ Jesus. We have a high priest in heaven. Hallelujah. Who represents us. And if we will call on him, we can be delivered. We can be rescued. We can be saved. But we have to turn from ourselves, turn away from our wicked ways, and turn to the only one who can rescue us from ourselves. The reason why people worship Lucifer is because he tells them you can do whatever you want without consequence. Anybody heard that voice before? Remember the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, verse 4, where mankind came together in a new world order at the time? Sound familiar? And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. This is the pride of man. How many know that the peak of pride is violence? The fruit of pride eventually leads to chaos and violence. Are we not seeing that today? Now listen, Babel was man's attempt to create a world order independent of the Creator, independent of God. Because remember, after the flood, God blessed Noah in Genesis 9:1. He blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be what? fruitful and multiply. And what? Fill the earth. What did man say? No, we're going to come together and form a great city, and we're going to exalt ourselves. And we're going to sit as gods. And God says, not going to happen. For a season, they seemingly succeeded, amen? But God, in his appointed time, stepped down, amen, and caused confusion to come upon the enemy, amen? Those who had rebelled against him. And guess what? They were what? Scattered throughout the earth, amen? Just like God said, I want you to spread out, all right? Multiply, fill the earth. And so because man rebelled, God stepped in. He says, no, you're going to be scattered instead. Amen. And so there it was, man trying to, you know, to live above God's will. How many know that God's will prevail? He is going to have his way. The good news is that God allows us to partner with him in accomplishing his purposes in the earth. We get to be a part of this. Amen. But we don't want to be part of the problem. Amen. We don't want to align ourselves with the devil and his agenda. We want to align ourselves with the Lord. The Holy Spirit will show us what to do. So prior to the Lord's return, what we're seeing right now is this vast federation of rulers and nations are coming together. They're uniting in an attempt really to stop, I believe, or prevent Jesus from taking the reins of world government. And that's why in Psalms 2, it says that God's going to laugh at them. In Psalms 2 and verse 1, it says, why do the nations rage? And the people imagine a vain thing or an empty thing. Now, how could the rulers of the earth ever think they could succeed in a rebellion against God? It's a vain imagination. How do we as human beings think that somehow we can rebel against God and get away with it? Verse 2 says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. What does that look like? A conspiracy. Oh, you're one of those conspiracy theorists, aren't you? Guys, how many believe there are conspiracy theories and there are actual conspiracies? All right, we're going to get to that. Many world rulers right now are under the influence of the little g of this world, the little god of this world, which is Lucifer, who's in rebellion to the Almighty God, and they are attempting to stop God's plan. What's his plan? To establish Jesus, amen, as head or over, as king over the nations. So guess what? The people of God are in the devil's way. We are resisting what he wants to accomplish. And that's why the devil's angry and the people that are in alignment with him hate people that follow Jesus. Amen. He hates the church because we are a resistance force against what he wants to do, what he's trying to do, which he will never succeed in doing because God is sovereign. Amen. And he is going to have his way. It doesn't matter how hard people try to rebel against God. God's still going to have his way. 2 Thessalonians says it in chapter 2, verse 6. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. We know there is a coming Antichrist, right? Son of perdition or lawless one. There's going to be a world dictator in time. Amen. And yet there's something that's restraining. Verse 7 says the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, I know there are differing views on this. I believe that you and I, okay, united with the Holy Spirit, are God's restraining force on the earth. That's why God calls us to pray and intercede that his kingdom would come and his will would be accomplished on the earth. He works through human beings. Amen. He works through human vessels. Why? Because he established us in charge in the very beginning, and God does not take his word back. In the beginning, God gave man dominion. Amen. Over all the earth and the things of the earth. He's given us that authority. Amen. We are actually to be representing God's kingdom, right, on the earth. As ambassadors, we'll go out into a foreign nation to represent that nation from whence they were sent, right? And as you know, that's what happened with Adam. Adam went outside of the realm of his influence. He overstepped his authority, amen, by rebelling against the known will of God, by listening to the serpent, and the serpent usurped Adam's authority, and man was separated from God because of transgression. In other words, any ambassador that would go to a foreign nation and no longer represent the nation that sent them, what is that king going to do, or what is that leader going to do? They're going to withdraw that, come on somebody, that ambassador. He's going to pull him. He says, you're out of here. You're fired. And so that's what happened with Adam. He lost his position. And the enemy usurped and took what belonged to man unto himself. And he began his destruction. But in the very beginning, remember, God had the plan already established that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. That in due season, amen, God would come in the form, all right, of a man. The seed of the woman. That was Jesus Christ who came, amen, to rescue us from Satan's clench. All right? To liberate us not only from the power of Satan, but from the power of sin itself. And the Bible says that God laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. So we could go free. Hallelujah. So that we could be restored to fellowship. That we can enjoy the presence of the Lord again. That we could know the Lord personally. So this mystery of lawlessness. Well, we see the fruit of it on the streets. We see the fruit of it everywhere today. Lawlessness. People are in rebellion everywhere. People are saying, I don't want anybody to rule over me. I'm going to be my own God. And even as it was in the days of Babel, the same thing is happening again, where these world rulers are getting together thinking that somehow they're going to make a name for themselves and they're going to be God over this world. How many know that's not going to succeed? It'll only be for a season, and then the Lord himself is going to intervene. Hallelujah. Because Satan's going to temporarily set up his version of Christ on the earth. The Antichrist is going to take the place of Jesus, you see. And he's going to fool a lot of people. And the people that are going to be deceived by him are the people whose eyes have been blinded by the god of this world, who is Satan. And often it's because people have refused the love of the truth when they had opportunity to believe. They rejected the truth. And they became blinded. Because sin blinds, would you agree? And even if we don't know the Lord and we're born in sin naturally, amen, we're blind to a lot of the things that the enemy's up to. Until the Lord comes, amen, and makes his home within us, and he begins to reveal to us what's really going on. Not what you hear on the news, not what you see that may seem to be the obvious, but what's really going on behind the scenes. I remember hearing a story of a friend of mine who said he was standing on the edge of a river in one of these countries, I think it was Central America or one of the places, and he said that there was some people on the other side, on the other bank, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this alligator just jumped up and grabbed this person and took him to their death, just like that. Well, have you ever noticed that the majority of the alligator is underwater? The only thing that you see sometimes are two little bumps. And that's sometimes the only thing that we're seeing, all right, in the natural, is maybe two little bumps. But we need the Spirit of God to give us discernment to realize what's actually going on below the surface. So that we can protect ourselves from our adversary, the devil. He's just like that. He's subtle. He studies his prey. He knows where we're weak and where we're vulnerable. And he tries to get us just to become self-confident so that we can disconnect from the Lord. Come on. And we become weak and susceptible to his attacks. But listen to this. The Antichrist is going to be short-lived because in 2 Thessalonians 2:8 it says, "Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." So once again, there is a lot of talk about conspiracies today, conspiracy theories. And again, I believe there are conspiracy theories, and then there are real conspiracies. And I believe the devil has used the term conspiracy theory to, in an attempt to shame the person who would question anything that's happening that's even obvious. Are you hearing me? Some people will not speak out about even the obvious because they're afraid they'll be shamed and called names. And so this term conspiracy theory, I believe, yeah, it is a real thing, but I believe a lot of times the enemy is just using that as a means to shame people into submission to what he wants to do. He uses fear tactics, bullying, to get people to bow down and not question anything. But God wants his people to be strong. Strong in him. Filled with this Holy Spirit, amen? Operating in the authority that God has given us as ambassadors on this earth, amen? Representing the kingdom government of heaven here on the earth realm. God wants us to pray, amen? And bind and to loose. God wants us to heal the sick and cast out demons and proclaim the kingdom. Because God, amen, has all authority. The Lord said, "I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Go therefore in my name." And he's going to back up his word. That's right. So our confidence is not in, can I do this? It's in God, amen, that God can do this. I just need to agree with him and align with him and step out when he tells me to step out and speak when he tells me to speak, amen. God is not going to tell you to do something without backing it up. So the devil labels people as conspiracy theorists in order to bully them into silence. Yeah. You know, let me just say something else. A lot of people today will not attend a church that speaks the truth. How many know that truth is offensive to the human soul? Has anybody beside myself be offended by the truth before? The truth is offensive to the natural man who's in rebellion to God naturally. But it's only the truth that's going to liberate a person from bondage to evil. Amen. Because the entrance of the word brings light. The things that were previously hidden have now been brought into the light. And now I became aware, as we were talking yesterday, amen, of our own sinfulness. Our own depravity. Praise God that he will allow us to see our own depravity, that we'll come to a place where we realize that we're monsters apart from God. I used to think everybody else was the problem until God showed me I was the problem. But that was his mercy, because then God was saying, "Listen, I'm offering you a way out. I'm offering you a way of escape. You can be freed from that, amen? I can forgive you and cleanse you and never hold that against you again. All the things that you're ashamed of, the things you don't want to think about or talk about, God can deal with all that." Hallelujah. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come for the righteous. He didn't come for people that thought they were righteous. But he came to people that realized they weren't. By the grace of God, we can come to a place where we know we're not. It doesn't matter how many good things we do. The problem is that sin will always separate you from God. So you need forgiveness, you need mercy, and you need God's Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, this shouldn't surprise us that Paul had told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:3. This is a New Living Translation, but so for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow what? Their own desires. And will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Today, people are crying out, "Do not pass any laws that would restrict me from doing whatever I want." Are you hearing me? But look at Psalms 2 and verse 3. "Let us break their bonds," they say, "in pieces and cast away their cords from us." No restrictions, no rules, no boundaries. Everything goes. Is that not what we're seeing today? Bonds could mean traditional marriage, family values, cords, commandments, laws, restrictions. How many know that restrictions are good for us? How many would agree that there are certain laws, if you were to fly on an airplane, that you need to observe? Amen. When you get in your car, there are certain road signs. Amen. There are laws in place that are there to what? Protect you. Would you agree that they're good? You know what? I just don't think I want to obey that stop sign today. Now, how silly would that be, right? So why is it that we think somehow I don't have to obey God's rules? Oh, we're not under the law, brother. We're under grace. Okay, let's go there. In the new covenant, in the new birth, amen, it's not a commandment written on stones, but the commandment is where? Written on the tablets of our hearts, amen, so that we know what God expects of us. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And we need to listen to his voice, because his commandment is love. When we obey the Lord, we are walking in love. We are protecting one another. We're guarding each other. Amen. We're not offending one another. We're not taking advantage of one another. We're not defrauding another, because we're living in love. The commandment of God in our hearts is the commandment to love one another. That's why Satanism, again, is becoming so popular today. Because, again, he's telling people they can do whatever they want without consequences. As one of the satanic commandments says, do as thou will. Do as thou will. And isn't that the same lie that he told Eve? He says, you're going to be your own God. You don't need to listen to God. You can be your own God. You can live independent of your creator. And how many know that just creates confusion, chaos, right? Dysfunction. That's what we see going on in the world. Guys, people ask, you know, and I ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Because people have been given a will to choose. And that's why Romans 13 in the New Testament says that the laws are there to protect us. Even the governing authorities, if they're good authorities, they're there, amen, to protect the citizens of that nation. So we are to obey the rules, amen, if you will, of society, as long as they don't contradict or undermine the word of God. That's where we draw the line. Because God's law is the supreme law. And the law we're talking about today is a law that's written in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we have life and peace when we walk together in harmony or in a relationship with the Lord. Not in, did I do this or didn't I do that? It's like, Lord, let's do life together. Let's just walk and do life together. Come on. That's why we get to talk with him. We get to pray, amen, and acknowledge the Lord in everything that we're doing, knowing the Lord will direct our steps. He will show us what we need to do. He will tell us of things to come so we can be prepared. The Lord wants to be our guide in life, amen, because he loves us and he knows what's best for us. The enemy wants to destroy your life, and that's why he's trying to get you to listen to him. 2 Corinthians 4:3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age, age meaning course of time, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. Jesus is the one who said that I came to seek and to save that which was lost. How many know that God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all come to repentance? Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. God gives people opportunity to be saved. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to what? Deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we may live soberly and righteously in this present world. Why? Because we're looking forward to the day when our great God and Savior Jesus will return. Amen. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. The devil is in panic mode. The devil is doing everything he can. He's pulling out all the stops. Lawlessness is increasing. Why? Because he's in panic mode. And you can see it even in the rulers that are in alignment with him. They're in panic mode right now, trying to hold on to power. But God is the one that reigns. And he raises one king up and brings another king down. Amen? Hallelujah. So at this time, it may seem as though things are spinning out of control and that the devil is winning. However, God's plan will certainly come to pass. Now, here's the question. What is God's plan? Here we go. You ready? Want the answer? I bet you knew this. Ephesians 1 and verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. The New Living Translation says this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together. Under the authority of Christ. Everything where? In heaven and on earth. The devil will never stop what God is going to do. He cannot. The expression dispensation of the fullness of times is referring to the time when the Lord returns to the earth to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's right. Jesus is coming to rule. Amen. He's going to reign over all. Hallelujah. So what we see now is still the Lord being rejected, disowned by people. But soon, he's going to be the preeminent one. He's going to be the Lord of all. Jesus is going to be the object of universal worship. Every knee will bow to him. Every tongue confess Jesus Christ. God is going to set up Christ, amen, as head over all things in heaven and on earth. So what's been happening through the generations is that God has been gleaning a people. Through every generation, he's been bringing people out of that generation, bringing them to himself. Don't you feel privileged today that we get to be one of that number? That God is bringing together all. Amen. In Christ. Now listen. The time of this dispensation of time is coming to a close. We are what the Bible calls living in the time of the Gentiles. This is when the Jews had rejected Messiah initially. God turned to the non-Jewish peoples of the earth and extended his grace and invited people to come. Amen. To be born again and to become a member of his kingdom. But the time of the Gentiles is coming to a close. Even now, God is beginning to turn back to his ancient people. Their eyes are being opened. The veil is being removed. We're getting close. And what that means is today, while it is called today, the dispensation of grace, while you still have an opportunity, you must repent and believe. You must turn from sin to Savior Jesus, amen, Messiah. And you must walk with Him because He's the only way to the Father. Because the time of the Gentiles will come to an end. There is a certain number that God is gathering throughout the generations. And when we reach that number, He will then turn again to His ancient people. And their eyes will be opened. And the Jewish people will then begin to cry out and say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And the Messiah will come. Wake up. If you're asleep, wake up. God has given you an opportunity today. He's giving us an opportunity today to get right, to get in right standing with Him. While it is called today, today is a day of salvation and healing and deliverance and all the good things that God is pouring out. He's pouring out His Spirit on all flesh, but the time is coming when God will shut the door. And there will be those who will knock and say, "Lord, open to us, open to us." Too late. Because in the day of His visitation, the time when God was drawing you, when you were being summoned by the king into His courts, you resisted and said no. Is this making sense? He is a mighty king and He is a holy king. And He is a loving king. He is a good king. Amen. And He wants us to share His kingdom. He wants to share His kingdom with us. He wants us to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to perish. And He's giving people an opportunity. But that opportunity will one day come to a close. And don't be the one that's standing outside and say, "Now, Lord, I will get right with you. Now I will save you. I'll serve you." Are you hearing me, somebody? "Now I will serve you." No, no. Today is the day. Let us fear the Lord and depart from evil. So He's going to come and rule. In Psalms 2 and 6 it says, "Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion," Jerusalem. The angel Gabriel this said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, Luke 1:32, "He will be great and will be called," what? "The Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. And He will reign over the house of Jacob forever." How long? "And of His kingdom there will be no end." Hallelujah. So the evil that has brought together mankind in this great rebellion will never succeed in stopping the church of Jesus Christ and the spread of the gospel to every nation. How futile for man to strive against his maker. How foolish to attempt to stop the plans of the Almighty God. To think that somehow we can resist what God's going to do. And that's what's happening. People are coming together and conspiring against the Lord and His anointed. He's taking steps against to try to stop the church. Amen. In the flow and the move of God in the earth. But God's going to have His way. Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Amen. Hallelujah. You see, we're not to be in any way intimidated by our adversaries. God wants us to be strong in the Holy Spirit and His power. Amen. So that we don't walk around cowering under the bullying or the attempted bullying, amen, of the spirit of Antichrist that is working through these evil people all around us. Amen. When Israel got to that wall, amen, and the spies went into the city, amen, and they came up to Rahab on the wall. Remember Rahab the harlot? And what did she say to them? "The dread of you has fallen on all of us." And they're like, "What? We were the ones that were intimidated, and yet you guys were afraid of us." Because we had seen what your God has done. Amen. How He delivered you out of Egypt, right? And the many miracles and the works that God had done. So what is He saying? We're not to be in the place of being intimidated by our adversaries. How many really believe that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? How many believe that if God be for you, who can be against you? You see, it will be unto you according to your faith. What you really believe will determine what you receive. If you know it and you believe what God said and you stand upon the word, God's word does work. God has given us authority. Amen. You don't need to guess that. You don't need to second guess it. If God says, yes, I've given you authority in my name, go in my name, enforce what I've already accomplished for you on the cross, then God will be with us wherever we go and whatever we do, because God wants to show up on the scene, amen, and destroy every work of the devil. And so the devil is mad at the church because we are a restraining force. The Holy Spirit in God's people is that restraining force until the time when God removes it. I believe God's going to call us up in the rapture. That's how I believe. Be ready. Well, when is he going to come in the rapture? When the Father says so. No one knows the day or the hour. Only my Father, right? Not even the angels of heaven, not even me, Jesus said, but my Father, in that time, he's going to say, now's the time, go. That's why we need to be ready for that time. Hallelujah. Well, here's one of the best parts of this Psalms, chapter 2, verse 4. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Against who? Kings, the rulers that are in opposition to what he wants to do. This is not the laughter of humor. God is basically saying, how ridiculous. Really? For man to oppose him. It says, the Lord will hold them in derision. The word derision means to mock or deride. The Lord literally scoffs at their insolence, at their arrogance. So the Lord laughs at the attempts of mere mortal man to stop him. Romans 9:20 says, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Verse 21, does not the potter have power over the clay? I think so. Verse 5 says, then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. God's judgment is coming upon the earth, and man will be powerless to oppose it. The righteous king is coming. Verse 6 again, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Who is that? That's our Lord Jesus Christ, amen, who is King of kings, Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Are you ready to meet the king? Things are going to happen exactly how God said they would. We're right on schedule. God's not late. Amen. He's always on time. The enemy's in panic mode. But God's going to have his way in the earth. Okay, I'm going to finish with this. Are you ready? To the church. Here, everyone here, please listen to this. Don't let it be, oh, that was great, but not do anything with it. Listen. Hebrews 3:12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in what? Departing from the living God. I don't know about you, but I've witnessed many people departing from the living God. But in verse 13, he says, but exhort one another. When? Daily. While it is called today, that's that dispensation of time we're in right now, where God's grace is being poured out, where people have an opportunity to be saved. Amen. Lest any of you be what? Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If we are not careful, our hearts can actually grow cold and become calloused and indifferent to the Spirit of God. At one time, we used to tremble at the word. We used to break so easily before the Lord. Amen. We were so in love. Our hearts were alive and we were burning with love and passion for Jesus. And now we're indifferent because why? We have been resisting. And you become hardened and insensitive and cold. Well, the good news is this. God knows how to reconstitute your heart. God knows how to make your heart soft, pliable. God knows how, amen, to bring us back to the place where we're once again alive. Revival is what we're praying for. It means return to life. God wants his church to return to life. Quit pretending. Quit faking it. I want to know that all is well with my soul. I want to know that God is saying, all is well. I don't want to be deceived in my own mind to think all is well if it's not. But Lord, what do you say? Would you bow your heads this morning? Is it well with your soul today? Just between you and Jesus. There are some of you here today that God wants you to recommit yourself to him. He wants you to forget about the past. Forget about the wrongs. Forget about the hurts. Quit blaming him. And return to the only one who can breathe new life into you and set you back on course, that you may reach your destiny with joy, that you may be fully equipped for every good work, that you might be about your Father's business in the time between his first and coming second. Jesus is coming again. Be prepared. Don't let your hearts be hardened. If you've hardened your hearts, if you've been resisting the Spirit of God, it's time to repent while you still can. In the days of Noah, God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. God strived many years. Noah, preacher of righteousness for 120 years, while people continued to resist the Spirit of God. They refused to heed the will, the Word of God. And many of them became indifferent. They become calloused. And they knew not until the day the flood came and took them all away. Today is a day. While you still have opportunity, while you can still hear his voice, if you still feel the Lord pricking your heart this morning, give it back to him. Give your life back to him. Forgive. Forgive others. Let them go so that you might be forgiven. Ask the Lord to forgive you for your rebellion. And ask the Lord to change your heart, that you might have a heart that's open and receptive once again, and even a heart that would hunger and thirst for him. That he will be your desire. He will be your passion. Your life's pursuit would not be wealth, but Jesus. And to the unbeliever, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. Oh, many people say, not now, one of these days, maybe I'll consider giving my life to Jesus. Oh, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know how much time we have. You don't know if you're going to live out the day. Many people are going to die today. Many people will be born today. We don't know when our time is up, but we do have today. We do have this opportunity that God has given us to return to him and get it right. Because God is the one that can make you right. You need to give him your soul. You need to entrust your life. You need to surrender to the Holy Spirit. You see, God's not willing that anyone should perish, but that we would turn back to him. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you right now, open your heart. Just open your heart to Jesus. Just open your arms, open your heart to him. And let him in. Let him back in. You know, when Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, he was knocking on the door of a church. People had shut him out of their lives. It's time to let him back in. and let him be preeminent in your life. Let him be Lord of your life. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. God wants his people burning for him. God wants his people on fire for him. He wants us alive in him. He wants his people revived. Amen. But we've got to give him the whole offering and let him consume you with his love. Let him envelop you. Let him saturate you with himself. Hallelujah. That you will have his holy passion in you. And a heart that burns for him with holy desire to please the Master and to live your life for him and not for yourself. That's what God wants. He wants to live through us in this world. And he's looking for someone who will say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." God wants us to hit the reset button. He wants us to be determined this day, this moment, to say, "You know what? I'm done with my past. I'm done with what was. I can't go back and I can't change anything. But what I do have is this now, this moment now, to say, Lord, here I am. I give myself to you. Take me, Lord. Use me for your glory. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, set my heart aflame for you. Give me oil in my lamp. Wake me up. Bring me to full flame for you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.